I've got a lump.
Is it a lump? What kind of lump? What
I've
shape
got
is
a
it?
lump. I've got a lump, and I don't know
Hang
what it
on, hang
is,
on. Is it a
but
cube or a sphere?
it's a sphere.
Oh, you're one of them.
Oh
You're one of them oblets, are you? Go on, give it a
no.
squeeze. Give it a
Oh,
squeeze.
come on, come on, come
Oh, you can do it.
on. Get
Squeeze that
out.
lump.
Get out of me.
Yes,
Get
get out.
out.
Shit, we're
Has it
live.
helped? Space. The final frontier.
This is how I start
These
the episode.
are the voyages of the starship Adequate. Our ongoing mission until we are cancelled and replaced by something far superior. And trust me, if the ratings are anything to go by, it will be soon.
It's not taking much right now. It's not.
To review every episode and movie of Star Trek in existence, to seek out new guests and make them very
There are no new
uncomfortable,
guests. There are zero new guests.
to boldly
And
go
hold on.
where many other Star Trek based YouTube shows have gone before and have done far better. Yeah,
Guest?
where have you gone?
Guest?
What are you doing?
I'm looking for new guests.
You won't find them under your desk. You may find Lee,
Well, you'd be surprised.
but. Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Treks and Trekkers. Welcome to a live episode of Trekking Up North. I am one of your hosts, Captain Goodwill, and joining me, as ever, is the delectable Geesian from the planet Hog. It's Science Officer Sinwar!
We are live. We
We're
are at
live
last
here!
live.
Hang on, let me
After
just adjust my curtains.
weeks adjusting
Oh.
it. Oh, I'll
Well,
do the same. Oh no,
I
wait, I
look
can't.
like
Hang on, hang on.
Gabrielle. There we go, there we go.
Hang on.
There we go.
Dreams
Dreams
can
can
come
come true.
true.
Look at
That's it.
baby, I'm not you. Right.
That's it. You know you've got no new guests. You know they're under your chair. That's
Clone Star are taking them, it's fine. How are you this week, Science Officer Sinise?
I've been ill, can you believe? I've been like I've had this weird fatigue thing that everyone's had, like where basically you just have no energy to do anything. So I haven't been particularly ill. I've just had no energy. So basically work has just taken up all of my stuff, and then afterwards I've just been like I had to like pretty much like what is it, inject myself full of adrenaline earlier to do the girl podcast the other day. I had to be all happy and chirpy on that, and I was just like, this is just not my default state this week. But
It has been a week. When I have to buy Red Bull on my credit card by 9 o'clock this morning, you know things have
can't you
taken a
just steal
turn.
it like it was like a teenage in Woolworths?
No, because then I'd be the rest of Red Car and I'm far superior.
Yeah.
I have teeth. But yes, it has been a week. But we are here. Live on the YouTubes, on the Nerdy Up North YouTubes, to review episode 6 of Star Trek Lower Decks. And thanks again to Paramount Plus, who have been so kind, so generous, to give us advanced screenings of this wonderful season. Just as we are about to go live, those gorgeous people in Hollywood here have sent us episode 7 for next week, so we will be watching that as soon as we have finished here. But we are here to watch of a re watch review of Gods and Angles, and you're probably going, but Michael, don't you mean of Gods and Angels? And I'm like, no, we're referring to Chavs.
We made a joke about this the other day. I think we made this like gag the other week, and then it turned out that that's actually what the episode's called. And I was like, that's a coincidence that that joke is so well known. You know, but
R.I.P. Tyrone up there with the Angles and Princess Di.
appropriately named. How is everyone in the chat? Like, it's so
Yes.
wonderful to be live and to have people in the chat. Hello, Beth. Hello. Oh, Is that the lovely demon. David?
That's the lovely the David. Demon. I tell you what. Oh, he had a birthday yesterday.
Oh, didn't he have a birthday the other day?
Shall I sing him happy birthday? So I'll sing him happy birthday.
Oh, are we going to do it like the Marilyn Monroe version? So it's all like...
happy birthday. Shut up!
To Canadian land.
Shut up. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
You can stop, Mr. he's already come.
Deep. Mr. Demon. Happy birthday to you.
This is premium content. This is
premium.
I'm surprised this isn't behind a paywall or just illegal. But
something will happen behind a wall if I'm not careful. But yes, happy birthday, David.
He is called yesterday. The D-man. We're just putting it out there.
At least he's not called the D-con. So we are here to... we don't charge for everything. We are here to talk about Of Gods and Angles, episode 6 of Star Trek Lower Decks. My mother has just texted me for some random reason, knowing full well I am live, going, what is that pizza? What was in that pizza?
I love that. Hello, Mama Goodwill. I love that, right. Mama Goodwill is watching this.
Allow me just to derail the whole friggin' episode. Right, Mother, it was a £4 Asda large pizza with pepperoni, mozzarella cheese and double cheese. Okay, so we are back.
Hold on. Mama Goodwill, have you heard this? £4 pizza from Asda.
£4 pizza.
How the other half live, isn't it? Oh, it must be nice for some splashing out.
I couldn't
afford pizza. I had to eat a plate covered in dust. That was the best I could do.
Mrs. Captain Goodwill introduced me to the world of DIY pizzas in Asda. And the woman was like, you can have four toppings. Oof, and I was like, right,
I could
okay.
do with four toppings.
I was like, but I just want pepperoni and cheese. She was like, it has to be four. I was like, okay, so how about double cheese and double pepperoni? She was like, are you sure? I was like, I've never been more sure of anything in my entire life. And I took one bite of it when I got it out of the oven. And it was like, a whole new world. I've sent you. It's sent you weird. What scent? What is she on about? I am working.
I like the, like, she's like the, she's this week's guest. She's this week's new and exciting guest. She's under my seat right now. She's just like, how are you getting signal down there?
I know you have an iPhone. You shouldn't have signal anywhere.
I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying that we've just been taken over by Mama Goodwill. But
Of Gods and Angles.
This is totally separate. But like, I was discussing this with my brother that it's like we grew up being really frugal in our family, where we just never ever spent money on expensive stuff. It was always Mum would always go for the cheapest option, and we kind of took that to our adulthood. And now we've kind of realized that we've got a bit of money that we're kind of going, why not buy the expensive thing? Why not enjoy the expensive thing? But I still draw the line at the £4 make-your-own pizzas at like Asda and Sainsbury's. I'm still like, no, it's too bougie. It's too bougie.
Too bourgeois. Says the man who orders Domino's. But how the other half live.
I had a situation the other day because I do that thing where I have to justify it as a deal. So it was one of these ones where we were ordering from a takeaway and a pizza was a pizza was 12 quid. And then he wanted a kebab wrap and then that was like 6 quid.
A kebab wrap?
I know, and then there was an offer on. And then it was like, oh, we can't do that. It's too expensive. So we got this bulk offer where you got a pizza, you got two portions of chips, you got a cheeseburger, you got a kebab wrap, you got a bottle of pop and all this other stuff. And we didn't need any of it, but because it was cheaper than ordering things separately, we just ended up with tons of food. And then I felt really guilty because those chips went straight in the bin. There was they. Well, you know what it's like. You can reheat some food. You can reheat, like, pizza and stuff like that, but you cannot reheat pizza shop chips. It's just not
Pizza
possible.
update. Pizza update.
Oh.
Father Goodwill. Aldi does 99p pizzas.
See? I'm siding with Father Goodwill here. It sounds like a priest,
99p
but there's a
pizza.
first time for everything.
99p pizza. How big is the pizza? Is it just that? Is it just a p?
It's this big.
Yeah.
It's this big. It's like, what is this? A pizza for
To be
ants?
fair, mine was the size of Lee's. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know they did 20-inch pizzas out
No, he's 14. Have you not been watching my Twitch?
Wait, he's older than 14, otherwise I'm going to start feeling very awkward.
I
Oof.
hope he is,
But,
otherwise Prince Andrew won't be interested.
wait, without
So we
facial hair, he's older than 14.
speaking of facial, thank God Matt Gaetz didn't get in. So we are we are here to review of Gods of Angles, and for the love of God, let's get into it because it's been 12 minutes and we've not talked about Star Trek once. Yeah, this was a nice little filler starship adventure episode. Absolutely nothing to do with the overarching story about dimensional fissures or anything like that. It is a loving homage to Who Mourns for Adonis from the original series when we get Ollie. But there are three plots, shall we say. There's an A, B, and a very minor C plot. We love a good tangent. Of course you do, Beth. So
That
obviously.
ties into the episode because a tangent could possibly be shape related, couldn't
Oh, sine cos tan.
it?
I'm trying to find the name of the. There we go. So we have got two non-corporeal alien beings, the Antikens and the Silei, or the orbs and the cubes, as you can see down there. They are two warring species whose homeworlds or nebulas sort of like collided together, and they have had an uneasy relationships since, and they are trying to negotiate peace on the Cerritos. The B plot is that Mariner gets to step into a mentor role this week to mentor Ensign Ollie, who is the child of she's a half god, half human,
A demigod, if
a
you will.
demigod, Ensign in Starfleet, and it is a very, very obvious tribute to Who Mourns for Adonis, where we see Apollo, son of Zeus, fall in love with one of the lieutenants on the Enterprise crew, who is obviously a human. So,
And then
Ollie.
the final plot line is Boimler trying to get further along with his actual trying to be his other dimensional counterpart who is more successful and trying to
Yeah.
get in with
To Arda.
the is it Tiana? Yeah, it's
Yeah.
I and it's a weird one that that's kind of what ties us into the show. Like that's what kind of ties us into the overarching plot of this of the series, I think, that like C plot. But it's, you know what? It's a really strange one. It's like a color by numbers episode because they kind of went, hey, we want to bring back this like god race or whatever, and we want to like have that. But the orbs and the cubes is the most generic Star Trek plot I can possibly imagine, and it's kind of cool that it's an obvious trope that they just kind of went, hey, we're just gonna do it with the most obvious like sort of Star Trek like
It's
preamble, and
been
it's like it's
referenced,
taking fun
yeah.
of itself.
It's been referenced to Lonely Among Us, which is another Star Trek episode. But yeah, it is quite a tropey episode, in terms of the sphere and the orbs. It is quite a funny episode, especially when we see the orb having a shower and he freaks out because he wasn't glowing.
I had to stop writing down quotes from this episode. It's like they just went, hey, here's some funny quotes, and then let's build an episode around it. It's absolutely genius.
But it's funny because the A and the C plot are sort of linked together with Mariner and Ollie linked to the Antikins and the Solaire. Because essentially Ollie states, although she is a demigod, she doesn't have any powers, but she has been bounced out of every single, I think, six starships she's been relocated from. And the Cerritos is sort of her last chance before she's mustered out with the service. And Mariner sees a lot of her younger self, her earlier self, within Ollie. So it's really refreshing to see Mariner step into a mentor role in this episode and be that guiding voice that Ollie needs. And I love the fact that we get to see a different side of Mariner. We get to see one who does take charge, who is the rational one and actually, you know, is the problem solver and does it the right way. Because halfway through the episode, we have a murder mystery on our hands where one of the Soleil, the cubes, they believe has been murdered because their room is absolutely trashed.
Well, their mission is to be looking after this son of one of the cube diplomats. Yeah. And so when they actually go to his quarters to actually find him, it's all been smashed up and there's like residue on one of the walls in a cube shape. And they kind of go, oh no, he's been murdered or something, but let's not tell anyone. Let's just, you know, because it'll start like a war between them. So they go off and they, you know, they ask the captain, like, hey, cool, how about we investigate this on the down low and, you know, you keep negotiating with them. And so it kind of goes off with that, but it has like Ollie and Mariner having to try and do a crime, a detective operation. However, Ollie is the most unsubtle person in the entire universe.
Yeah, she's very brash, shall we say. She is a brash young ensign. But we do see constant tension throughout the episode between the Antikins and the Soleil, all the way through, no matter where you are on the ship. There's always bickering and there's always people, you know, like, what was it? Stop looking at my curves and you angular. What was it?
I think the best one is, you wish you had curves like this, you pointy freak. It's just like, there's just so many quotes in this episode. Like, it's just like,
It ties in. So the A and the C plot do tie in, so that there is this murder mystery going on. And they find evidence that one of these orbs, shall we say, could have been responsible for the murder of one of the cubes. And this is when they find the orb and they open the shower and he's in the middle. This orb is in the middle of showering, but because he's not glowing, he's like, and they start to they take him to an interrogation room and
he's like, hey, you know, you saw me when it wasn't glowing, and they're just like, oh, that must be the equivalent of being naked for them and stuff. And then Mariner yells after him, it's like, you look great.
Yeah. But it's another paradigm shift where we see the interrogation with Ollie and Mariner of this orb, where Mariner is actually the rational, good guy, calm interrogator, and then Ollie's just like shining the lamp directly onto his face or ball.
I don't know. It juxtaposes so quickly to this situation of them being like, hey, let's do this calmly, and then immediately it's like the Nazi interrogation room and he's just like, oh god.
That was it. But then he's able to escape, and as they're running after him, he goes into the observation lounge, the conference room, where both of these sides, like, that both the Antikins of the Salians' children are both missing, it turns out. And they both accuse, each side accuses each other of kidnapping and murdering both of them, and it just starts this like war between them, because the person that they were interrogating storms it, well, not storms it, but floats into the room, and he's just like, they think that we've murdered him, and it's like, what, this is why, and it just absolutely descends into utter chaos throughout the Cerritos. Everything is being shot, holes are being shot everywhere, the crew are trying to run for their lives because the war is just breaking out. And what I love is, even throughout all this in the observation lounge, Ollie trips up because she says, we found a melted pad.
Yeah.
And this is when I was this never happened when they were examining the room, which was absolutely destroyed, and there was like residue on the wall. There was no pad, there was no melted pad at all. So Mariner starts to get suspicious, and as everything is going on, Mariner is the one that keeps the cool head and starts looking for this pad, and because she's got suspicion, she makes her way to the locker room of the lower deckers, where she finds the pad in Ollie's locker. So Mariner immediately accuses Ollie of having something to do with this apparent murder. But it turns out that Ollie, do you want to explain it?
It turns out that Ollie like was lying, because what she's done is she's tried to keep it down low, because everyone said, oh, because she's a demigod, she'll have loads of godlike powers and stuff like that, and all be scared of her. And she's been like, hey, no, I don't have any powers or anything. But actually, it turns out she does. She has electrical powers and the ability to summon lightning like her dad. And therefore, she keeps breaking all the electrical equipment that she comes into contact with. And then I think that's how the pad got destroyed. Yeah, it doesn't really make it clear. It basically says that she found the pad in the room and she hid it because it would make people suspicious of her. But I wasn't sure if it was already damaged or if she ended up accidentally breaking it, and therefore, you know, and that's why she hit it.
She discovered the scene, ended up accidentally breaking the pad, and because she discovered the scene and broke the pad, she thought that she would be accused of murdering the son of the cubes. And you're right, yeah, she kept saying she didn't have any godlike powers, but as we see throughout the episode, like with the mini tractor beam, which was a nod to Wesley Crusher's mini tractor beam when he was in season one of TNG, that she shocked it, and that, you know, she wants to be an engineer, but she keeps like short-circuiting, and they put it down to her being clumsy, incompetent, and not able to do the job properly. But in reality, because she's got these godlike powers, she can't control them. She's short-circuiting everything, she's melting things and stuff like that. And when the war is going on and they try to basically say, hey, you know,
I love that a war breaks out, like they literally cause a war between these two factions, and they've blown up the ship, they're doing everything. It's
and when they when it escalates and they fly out of the shuttle bay, and it just...
Well, what happens is, basically, she goes, okay, cool, I'm going to use my powers and I'm going to try and sort of de-escalate things with them. So they basically go to one of the heaviest areas of fighting, which is the shuttle bay, and then she uses her godlike powers to basically, like, zap everyone and, like, hold the cube side and the sphere side. That's weird. Never needed to say sphere side before. Both the sides, sphere like in stasis side. For a moment. Yeah, sphere side.
Weir side, tear side, sphere side. Sphere side. Ooh, sphere side.
Sphere side. It feels weird. I don't like it. Yeah, I don't Sphere side. Yeah, but then what she ends up doing is draining too much power from them and basically having an overload, exploding, firing loads of lightning bolts everywhere, one of which gets wedged in Boimler's asshole, because he is here because of the... Is it the B-plot we're calling it?
The B-plot, it is.
We're calling the Boimler thing the B-plot, yeah.
Yeah, cool. The Boimler plot.
And that happens. And then basically both of the factions decide to go, right, okay, we're going to attack Starfleet. The alliance is over. They basically leave the ship. And then we have a hilarious thing from Ransom, where Ransom's basically... What is it he says? He says it's like, he's like, oh no, they're combining into new and imaginative shapes. And then they basically just turn into a huge cube and a huge sphere. And then he's just like, oh, it's not imaginative at all.
It's the only line in the show that he's got.
Big cubes.
It's the only line in the show that he's got.
He has loads of good ones. Bizarrely, it's like apparently Ollie is accused of stealing his kettlebells at the beginning of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like, he's like, I can't get my gains without my bells. It's just, yeah. It's quite fun.
Yeah, because he taxes her with arranging all the circular furniture. And earlier in the episode, he tasks her with arranging all the circular furniture. And it's just a wonderful Trek trope nod, because all the circular furniture is a chair that was in Worf's quarters and Odo's quarters, a Dabo wheel.
Yeah.
There was something, I've got it noted down. Hang on, let me have. Worf's quarters, the Dabo wheel, an original series cloaking device. And it's just like anything circular that they could find, they were going to give to the Antikens.
Well, I wasn't sure about this because of what they're saying later on in the episode about how both of the factions, so the cuboid side are basically saying, hey, we don't want anything round in any of our quarters or any of the rooms we're in. And then the spheroid side are all saying, hey, we don't want any angles in our rooms. And obviously Captain Freeman's just like, I don't know how to remove angles from the ship. You know, it's like, so you kind of wonder if maybe the reason why they're actually getting rid of all this round stuff, because they're taking it out of the cuboid quarters and being like, oh, best get rid of all this round stuff from there. I don't know, but it's a fun little thing, but she manages to mess it up and cause calamity. And yeah, that's basically how she's presented throughout the whole episode.
But Mariner is there to reassure her, though.
Yeah.
When she thinks that she is a failure and that she's tried to help and everything has gone wrong and it's just escalated the situation more, Mariner is there to basically comfort her and say, you did your best. You know, you tried as hard as you can and you did your best. You know, no one can blame you for doing that. And then she has the realization that although she's like overloaded and she wasn't able to control her powers, she can actually use her powers for good by drawing the beans back into the shuttle bay and essentially
using a tractor beam,
which she had done earlier in the episode, to bring them back in to the shuttle bay so that she goes to the bridge and convinces Billups and Freeman that this can be done. Uses them to bring them back into the shuttle bay and essentially drain them of their power as the demigod that she is, to neutralize them, to get them to de-escalate the situation. And when they're all in the shuttle bay, we get the reveal that the two missing children, which each side thought murdered the other, were actually... It's a really nice Romeo and Juliet connotation, but they have fallen in love with each other. And basically the room wasn't trashed because there was a fight. They are just two really kinky shapes. And it's just like, but what about the residue on the wall? Oh, sorry, that's part of our kink play. No,
leaving evidence is our
kink. Part of our kink.
It's just like, the whole thing is just ludicrous. Like it's literally just, it's just this whole segment here is just one-liners, like amazing one-liners for the rest of the episode.
I want to know, because I haven't got it written down. What is the name, right? Because it's revealed they have a child.
Yeah.
Which is a half cube, half circle. What is the name of that child?
Oh, it's just called Squaren.
Is it Squaren? Squaren! Yeah, because it's Aaron. It's Squaren.
It's Squaren. And then they basically change the talks to be called like the Squaren.
Yeah, the Squaren talks, but then Squaren shits a pyramid. And the orb's just like, oh God, what do I do? I've been father for an hour. What do I do? What do I do?
It's the most tropey Trek plot you could possibly have. And the fact that it's actively taking the piss out of itself is kind of wonderful. And I'm here for it. I'm here for how silly this episode is.
Yeah. It's fantastic because, you know, it's able to de-escalate the situation and get these two factions, not factions, these two races to talk to each other at the negotiating table. But It's a great little plot, and like I said, like you said, it's identifying Star Trek's most ridiculous tropes and tackling them head on, and just going, we can also have fun with this, where we've got circles and squares, and then demigods.
Yeah, you're like, because, these are things that exist in the Trek universe.
These exist. So... the Greek gods in Star Trek are real. And it leans in heavily to, for those that don't know, Who Monstra Adonis is an original series episode where the crew of the Enterprise get caught by a massive green hand. If you've ever seen that trope in Futurama or anything like that, the massive green
or
hand.
The beginning of the episode.
Or the beginning of the
title
episode.
Title sequence of Lower Decks has it attacking a Borg cube.
Or in a little reference to it in Star Trek Beyond as well. But yeah, so Who Monstra Adonis is where the Enterprise encounters Apollo, son of Zeus, who is a Greek god. And it is revealed that the Greek gods were in fact real. They were an omnipotent alien race. Far more evolved than humans, who landed on Earth, on Mount Olympus, and gave the Greek civilization wisdom, knowledge of mathematics, and everything like that. So it leans heavily into the ancient aliens. So this is a nod to that by having Ollie as a demigod, where her father is a god, and obviously her mother is a human, and that's why she's got the laurel wreath?
Yeah, laurel, yeah.
A laurel.
A gold. And the fact that she says she can't take it off, it's not decoration, it's literally part of her biology. So yeah. It's like, okay. It's such a strange, strange thing, but I love the fact that Lower Decks can bring all of these insane things that exist in the Star Trek universe and go, because we're a cartoon, we can actually mesh these together and it doesn't seem
and
quite
as
absurd.
And it just works. It just works. That's
like
the thing.
The idea if you did like a live action one, like if you put like sort of is it Tiana or Talana?
Tiana.
Tiana. Sorry, I keep saying Tiana, and I'm like, nope, that's the protagonist from the Princess and the Frog.
Tiana.
Tiana.
Comma. Is it what's the one at the top? Comma.
Apostrophe.
Apostrophe. Anna.
Oh, well, it could be an upside down, a floating comma.
A floating comet, yeah.
A floating comet. But it's the fact that if we got them in like Strange New Worlds or something, it would have to be done so well to have the cat people in there. Otherwise, it would be like the live action adaptation of Cats, you know? Yeah. So like Lower Decks kind of manages to go, hey, here's the stuff that we don't think we could put into the actual shows, but we're going to make it work. And it's brilliant.
That is a wonderful little segment into the Boimler plot of the week, where Lieutenant Boimler, on his ever-continuing mission to be just as cool and as successful...
And to grow a beard
and just be as successful as his alternate reality Boimler. What I love about this plot is, obviously, he's got the red data pad, and Rutherford comes into their shared quarters, and he's looking for like power cells and stuff like that for the Antikins and the Selene, and he goes, oh, maybe I can just take the power pack out of the pad that you've been using that you took from the alternate reality. And he's just like, how did you know? He's like, oh, I knew it was an alternate reality because the bevel's different. He's like, but it's red. Oh yeah, that too. And it's just like, what I love about this is the two people that notice is Rutherford and Tendi. Not that it's red, that the bevel is deep. it shows how perfect they are for each other.
Shows how nerdy they are as well. But it's the fact of, I love how in this scene, it's like Boimler's basically in his bunk, in the bottom bunk, reading the pad, and then when Rutherford comes in, Boimler basically jumps up, bangs his head on the ceiling above, on the bunk above, but there's a massive indent in the bunk already from the amount of times that he smashed his head on it.
Yeah.
And it's just this tiny little visual gag that tells a whole story, and it's the attention to detail there, but it's the fact that Rutherford's like, oh yeah, I knew all along that you nicked that pad and that you've been trying to sort of be more like your other dimensional counterpart. And it's just Rutherford being socially awkward.
But Rutherford is just like, why can't you just be yourself? You know, like, be yourself. Like, you don't have to impersonate the other Boimler. You can be just as successful. But Boimler is like, yes, but he was acting captain, and he, you know, he was friends with T'Ana, and T'Ana gave him a nickname, Flip, in the alternate reality. So his mission for this episode is to get into the good graces of T'Ana, Dr. T'Ana.
And the way he does this is by getting invited to her book club, apparently. So he's got to work out a way of getting invited to her book club. Oh, hi, Charles Royale. Welcome to the chat.
Hi, Charles.
Oh, the Greek gods are real. It's giving ancient aliens.
Yeah.
Yep. It's very Chariot of the Gods.
But when he's like in the when he's in sick bay and he's trying to get into the grace,
he immediately goes to sick bay and then just goes, hey, and then he starts trying to hint, you should call me Flip. My nickname is Flip in the other dimension. So keeps saying it all the time and going, oh, I'm just flipping through this book and whatnot. Yeah. And she's like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, and he's like, oh, maybe we could just, like, maybe you could train me in some medicine. I always want to flip through this and do that. And then she's just like,
no,
just get.
I think the best thing, he's like, hey, I just thought maybe you could train me up on some medicine. And she's like, go fuck yourself. No, she's like, no, fuck off.
But when he's like, because they're her and Tendi are cataloging like vaccines. And then he tries, and obviously still trying to get her to call him Flip. He's like, I'm just going to flip out of here. So he tries to flip, smashes into the trolley, and just gets vaccinated by five different vaccines.
Yeah, he lands on a pile of hypersprays, and she's like, those are experimental vaccines. And then you can just see his eyes getting wider from it. So he's obviously high as fuck. It's really stupid, though. Like, it's a really stupid scene that's more stupid than, like Lower Decks tends to be. But it's still quite funny just seeing how annoyed T'Ana is getting at him it's just not working.
But the bit where he's like, I know, if I want to get into T'Ana's good books, I have to talk like T'Ana. So
what they do is that they listen to voice notes that are kept on the pad from T'Ana, and all they are is basically her just kind of like the messages between me and you, where they're just absolutely not for public hearing, where it's just constant swearing. It's just like her just literally saying the most horrible stuff to the
what
other
is,
person.
What is the and nickname just like, she gives him? What is the
Fucko,
nickname?
Isn't it?
Is it Fucko? I think
but it's basically just her saying, hey, fucko, you know, go fuck yourself. And it's the entire voice note is just obscenities directed towards him. And then Boimler goes, oh, that must be how she shows affection. I've got to talk like her to her, and then she'll respond to me that way. So the next scene between them is he goes back to sick bay in front of everyone and then just starts swearing his head off at her, with every single word in the sentence beeped out. And she's just standing there being like, what the actual fuck?
But with it be like Paramount as well, all we hear is, hey, doctor. And everyone's just like.
It does this wonderful cutout to the rest of the lab. And everyone is just staring in shock. And then T'Ana just is like, sort of, how dare you speak to me like that? Immediately beats the shit out of him in a cat way and starts throwing him around and stuff. And he's like, hey, you're not swearing. And she's like, burn him, and immediately launches into a tirade. It's a very funny scene of her beating the shit out of him. And then, so that didn't work, basically. But then the next time we see them is when things kick off in the cargo bay. And then T'Ana's basically sort of running around healing people who've been shot by the bolts from the cubes and the orbs. And then, and Boimler basically jumps in the way being like, hey, maybe I could help with this. Like, you know, desperately trying to get into T'Ana's good
No, fuck
boots.
Off!
Yeah, that's And then immediately gets hit by one of the lightning bolts from Ollie, which lands square in his ass. So
right
he has a lightning bolt sticking out, a huge Zeus lightning bolt sticking out of his ass. But then the bizarre thing, the way that this B-plot resolves is that at the end of the episode, we get to see T'Ana performing surgery on him. like
the bitch he pulls out,
surgically removing a lightning bolt from his ass because it had broken off inside there. And it's huge, like you say, it's a huge chunk of lightning bolt. Yeah, that's it. It's not quite Lee size, but he wasn't willing. That's the difference.
But Lee's always willing. Whether or not he's able, that's another question.
But I think it's really good. But then bizarrely, it all kind of works out in a strange way because she just goes, wow, I could write a paper about this. Finally, I've got some actual proper sort of experience or something I can write about.
I've got some actual clout. Yeah.
Yeah. So she can write about it. And then she basically goes, hey, my nickname for you is Fucko, which seems to be what she was calling the other one. It's just they were assuming it was Flip or something. Yeah. I don't know. But either way.
Yeah.
But he does get a nickname and she does invite him to her boot club. So
I love that. Only in this series of Star Trek could someone's nickname. We've got Bones. We've got Trip. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, we've got Old Man.
We've got Fucko now. And now we've got Fucko. And I love it because this I am.
I love this is so the episode sad. That your parents are joining us.
I know.
For.
I am so sad that we have only got four episodes left of Lower Decks because I really don't want it to end because it is really feeling like they are hitting their stride in fleshing out the minor characters, not just the main ones, the minor ones.
I realized something the other day, okay, and it kind of gave me hope, and I don't want to get my hopes up too much because it's Paramount, but it's the idea of like when they, you know how they've been unequivocally, I can't pronounce that word. Hey, nope, this is the final season of Lower Decks. Do you think it's because there's going to be another animated show afterwards that isn't limited to being Lower Decks? Because the thing is, technically, the whole point of the show is to go, hey, these are the people that are at the lower end of the starship, and they're sort of, and now they've all been promoted. So they're now sort of like commanders, they're now sort of like ensigns and stuff. So you kind of go like, yeah, it's not really Lower Decks anymore. It's not really doing that anymore because it's like half the characters are actually high-ranking officers. So you kind of go like, might they rebrand it and then be like, hey, here's the characters again, but it's not Lower Decks, it's
Upper Decks.
You know, yeah, Upper Decks or something. I don't know, like, could it be some kind of weird trickery like that where it's like...
Because
it isn't Lower Decks anymore, technically, because everyone has, you know, progressed.
The thing with... There is a few things with modern Star Trek. The trope seems to be in the 90s the classic Star Trek trope was seven seasons, so Next Generation, DS9, Voyager, seven seasons. Everyone knew when Enterprise was commissioned in 2000 2001, again seven seasons. That's what it was going to be. So it was going to be, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then 5, 6, 7 would be like the Romulan War setting up the Federation. With modern Star Trek, the general way of doing things for Paramount, whether it's convenient or not, it's 5 seasons. And then that's it. I would be highly surprised if Strange New Worlds goes past season 5. Personally, I think out of all the shows, Star Trek Picard had a shelf life. We know that. It was before it even came out, it was confirmed it was just going to be 3 seasons. That's what it was. It was like a mini series. Star Trek Prodigy, the fight that we have had just to get season 2 aired.
Which is crazy considering how good season 2 is.
Discovery sort of fought
nearly
the good fight. Fought the good fight, but there was a lot of variables that sort of caused its, not demise, but early wrap-up. Strange New Worlds, as much as we love it and as much as it is a terrific series, no matter what you think, it has a limited shelf life. And it cannot go past a certain time. Now, that could be season 7, 8, 9, 10, whatever. So if they set it like 2259, right, where it is at the moment, they've only got 6 or 7 seasons. That's it. Yeah. Because Pike has the accident and then the menagerie in the original series. Yeah. It's a limited shelf life.
I just why are we assuming they have to stop there? Can't we just have a show with Wheelchair Pike? But where every episode Spock breaks in and steals him again and just takes him off on a wild adventure where they're just like, have you nicked Wheelchair Pike again?
It seems the trend, though, is there is a trend of 5 seasons. Out of everything that's being produced at the moment, and yes, Chris, I also want season 5 of Enterprise, don't get me started. With
yes,
everything
Charles,
that's being produced,
Charles,
though.
It's
sorry, Chris.
Season 5
Charles,
of Enterprise.
With everything being produced, though, the one series at the moment that has got the legs to go way past season 5 is Lower Decks. It is in that very finite period in Star Trek history, and because they are not important, they can do a lot with it. And they could...
Yeah.
Lower Decks is cheaper to produce than live action, and they could easily flesh out the next generation. I mean, they have done over the last 5 years. They have fleshed out the next generation universe more in the last 5 years than people have done in
they
the last
really
20.
Have.
They really have.
They genuinely have. And it's crazy.
The wheelchair doesn't need to happen. Yes, it does. Spock kidnaps disabled people.
he's a kleptomaniac. What can I say?
I could see Lower Decks going one of two ways. A movie. And they would probably, it would be like a Crisis Point piss take type movie. It ends on Paramount Plus. But it gets fielded out to other streamers, Amazon Prime,
Prodigy. Prodigy. We go, hey, does anyone else want to take on
this? The success that Netflix had with Prodigy, maybe they're looking at Lower Decks and going, maybe? Or maybe Amazon Prime is looking at the success Prodigy had on Netflix and is going, maybe if we take Lower Decks back, like we did for the first 3 seasons, where it was like funded and stuff like that, maybe it could work. Personally, I think these shows should not be limited to Paramount. They absolutely should not. Paramount, don't get us wrong, Paramount does amazing programs, but the Paramount Plus network, the Paramount Plus app, is it a success? Is it competing with Netflix? Is it competing with Amazon Prime? If you ask people, why have you got Paramount Plus? Most of them will say Yellowstone, Halo, Star Trek.
Oh, will people say Halo?
Well, I mean, to watch Halo and then realise why. But with international viewers, there is no need to have Paramount Plus if you are a Trekkie, because you have Netflix, you have Amazon Prime, etc., etc. So it's very, CBS are very broad with distributing Star Trek internationally. So I don't know. I want Lower Decks to continue 100%. And I will be very sad when this season ends. We have only got, so it's 4 episodes, so we've got 2 hours worth of Lower Decks left. That's it for now. So I loved this episode. It was a nice filler episode, a Starship Adventure episode, bottle episode, if you will. What did you think of it?
You're right. It is a filler episode, and it feels weird. Like, for Next Generation, like, you know, we didn't really have it much in DS9. Like, DS9 knew exactly what they were doing, but in Next Generation and Voyager, the final season felt like here's all the crazy ideas we weren't able to get away with. Let's put them in the final season. But it feels weird that Lower Decks isn't doing that more. They only have 10 episodes for the final season. And yeah, they are kind of going, hey, want to bring back the demigods? Hey, want to do this kind of plot? You kind of just go, yeah, but you've only got 10 episodes. Like, should you not be, there shouldn't be any filler
But
here.
it
And
was
while
the
I appreciate
case,
it,
yeah.
because it's what Lower Decks
But it
is,
was a case,
hey, remember this?
it was cancelled after
Oh, was it?
everything had
Oh,
been
I thought
planned.
they knew. I thought when they were
No.
making this, they knew this was the
What you have
last
to
one.
think with animation, it's 18 months. So
That's longer
they
than it takes to have a baby.
well, I don't know, 'cause I don't do the
Hold on.
thing.
Could you make a whole animation studio if you calculate how many babies you'd need? How quickly can a baby draw?
Is this the Rockstar Grand Theft Auto release date thing where it's just like I had five Grand Theft Auto games in the space of GTA 6, GTA, the distance.
I did love the I saw a meme the other day and it was just like what video games were like back in my day, and it's like Grand Theft Auto. And then it's like what video games are like now, and it's the same game, and they're like, yep. It's
No, it's
out, and then
GTA PS3 and then it's GTA PS5 and
they
it's
have
the
the same
same
thing.
game.
They have the same thing with Skyrim, where you're just like, yep, it's the same
Have you ever seen that? Have you ever
game.
seen that meme where like a time traveler comes back and he's like, "What year is it?" Looks at a poster and it's a poster of Skyrim and he's like, "What year is it?" Because
I will say no, I will say I like this episode. Like the last episode felt like a bit of a dip. This episode, I think it's about the same. I think it's about the same, but obviously, like, because it's continuing on from the previous one, it doesn't feel like a dip. It's just like we're still kind of here in a nice happy middle of the series bit. But I liked what it brought in. I thought it had some amazing one-liners that we haven't even gone through
Go
properly
through
yet.
them.
Where are we? What are we doing?
Get your notes out.
Hold on, where are my notes? It's I wrote down so many one-liners, man.
He writes psychopath.
Oh, God. Sorry, anyway. Yeah. Oh, forget, what was it? It's like, oh yeah. When Ollie's suggesting improving the tractor beam, the security chief's just like, what is it? He's just like, no, tractor beams are for tractoring. And then when they get tractor beamed in, the shapes are like, what angled trickery is this? It's just like, just the amount of words yelled in this one are absolutely amazing. And I love the weird message that we have, which is ironic. Is ironic the word? But basically, like you were saying, where Ollie discovers that she can be herself and she can embrace her demigod powers and still have a place on the ship. And actually, she gets moved to engineering. They go, hey, cool. If you can keep your powers under control a bit more, you'll be a great engineer. And that's really good for her. But then Rutherford, after seeing how well Boimler's scheme played out, where he was actually able to get all of the stuff and make it match up with the other dimensions shape of things. He basically just states, like in front of Tendi, hey, staying true to yourself is wrong. You've got to copy someone else. What does it say in that pad about me? And then Tendi's like, I don't think that's the message. That's not the message you should be taking from this. But so you basically got it where you're going, hey, be yourself and learn to trust yourself. And then the other one, which is, no, try to emulate other people and you'll be successful. And so it's just, yeah, this juxtapose of two different philosophies in one episode is
We
really
don't
fun, I
copy
think.
other YouTube shows here at Trekking Up North. Trek culture,
I think
culture.
we would fail if we attempted. I think if we attempted to do anything like they do, we would.
If we attempted to have guests, I think we would just collapse at the moment. The
I do
inbox is
wonder though,
sparse.
it's one of these ones because I was discussing on the Discord because I finally got back around to Discord earlier.
Same,
Talking
same.
about like, I would have bring polls back for this show and whatnot, and I want to get the audience more involved and stuff. And I want to make sure that the audience are watching the episodes. So it's the idea of going, hey, watch this episode, have your thoughts, tune in with us, and then we can all discuss it live kind of thing. That's what I think is fun. But it's the idea of with polls and stuff. I kind of want to see what people want us to do with this show in terms of stuff like what they're actually enjoying. Because I kind of, because I'm just happy chatting about nonsense, and then I'm just going like, hey, are people actually expecting us to talk about the episode? Like, oh, actually, and whether we should talk about the ideas in the episode or if we should be talking through what happens in the episode. It's difficult because we have a mix of people who haven't seen it, and so we're telling them what happens. But then we have people who have seen it, and we're kind of regurgitating what they already know with
We've sort of
snippets
done a
of
shift.
stuff. Yeah.
We special guest Stan Neelix. No, we don't have enough cheese. We've sort of done a shift when we've began the reviews of Lower Decks. It is our first Star Trek series where Paramount has been very kind to give us advanced screenings. So we know in advance what's going to happen, and we've done recordings and everything like that due to our hectic schedules. But we have sort of shifted the way we discuss the episodes as to go, this is this plot, and this plot. We don't do a scene by scene anymore. And obviously we're very curious to speak to you guys and go, well, do you like the way we do that, or do you want us to go back to scene by scene, where we go, when we talk about the scenes and the themes and the references and what it means? We would be very interested to know that, because obviously when Lower Decks sadly ends in December, we will be having a Trekking Up North Christmas special, and then we will be having a break until February 2025. And during that break, I will be working very, very hard with friend of the show Mike Overton from Clone Star Podcast. We will be redesigning everything for Trekking Up North, and me and Sonoys will be l bringing back polls on Blue Sky, not Twitter, Blue Sky, Discord, and the Nerd Up North Facebook group.
Do I have to start a Blue Sky now?
No, I can just do it for you. It's
Barely
fine.
use my bloody other. I barely use my bloody Twitter.
Just
I logged into it
retweet.
the other day, retweeted something, and I was like, "My work here is done.
You
That's
don't
that
use it, yet
sorted."
you have like 3,000 followers, and it is so annoying.
No,
I
it's
put in
because
so much effort.
It's because I started my Sonoy's Twitter account when Twitter first started. So I
Oh,
was
God.
there, I was massively involved with everything when there was only like a couple of thousand users and stuff. So we kind of like hung around. I had like 3,000 at some point, but obviously everyone's left the platform, so it kind of got knocked down to like 1,000. But
Exodus.
yeah, but it was for my music and stuff. Like I was really involved with Twitter, but then I realized that once I got more busy, I didn't have time to talk about stuff. And then you didn't want to talk about stuff because you're like, hey, I'm working on something really important. I can't really show it off right now, so I won't post about anything. And then you go, oh, and it's very difficult because, yeah. But
So we will
I haven't used
be.
it since because I never sit down for long enough to be like, let's post a tweet. Oh,
We
what
will
should I tweet
be
about?
bringing back polls. Also, we will be bringing back memes of the week. So if you are a member of the Nerdy Up North Discord group, there is a Star Trek memes channel.
Oh God, it's so
So
terrible.
when we it's so terrible but so funny. I remember Sonoy's 2009, Charles Royle says.
Yes, you do. You were there. You're a fan. He actually, Charles Royale is the star of one of the Sonoy's music videos, the most successful
Oh.
one from Shock Horror from 2009.
Oh.
No, it's 2010, I think.
14
Yeah. It was the
years
fourth
ago.
single from the first album. It was the fourth single from the first album, so I think it was the last music video released, so it was done
Let that sink in.
anyway.
14 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, so we will be there will be new features coming next year. We will be possibly opening Trekking Up North 2025 with the Section 31 review. More than likely we will have a special guest for that one, but we will have to wait and
I
see.
wonder who that
I
guest
wonder
could
who it be.
be.
Michelle
Oh, I
Yeoh.
wonder who we could possibly imagine.
It's Michelle, it's
I
David with a wig. We
kind of love the idea of us just like actually reaching out and trying to get like a really like a stellar, ludicrous guest just to make them so uncomfortable and make them just regret their life choices.
I want to ask Michelle Yeoh what her favourite pie is. But we will be back in 2025, obviously. But that is a long, long way away. Have you got any other notes of Gods and Angles?
No. I think that's everything. I do love the fact that someone yells "Shape War."
Shape War.
How long has my cubelet been missing?
Cubelet.
Seriously, everyone, watch this episode. Watch this episode just for like, what the hell is this?
Just to watch Squaren shit a pyramid. But that has been our review of Gods of Angles from season 5 of Lower Decks. Nice and short episode. We're getting very short with these episodes. Have you noticed? It's still like 9 o'clock. At night in the UK.
Weird. It's weird. I'm actually going to be streaming after this. I know. You have. No. I was basically just going, I need to make time for it because I've kind of realized if I don't actually go, no, this is in the diary, it is a thing that needs to be done, then other stuff creeps in. Like there were 3 other events tonight that I was meant to go to, and I was like, I can't keep moving the podcast. You know, I have to just go, nope, can't do that.
Keep talking. I'm about to alter the description down below because I forgot to add one thing.
Oh, right. But it's the idea of just, yeah, and I've kind of realised that I'm lucky enough to have a life where if I have a free evening,
all right,
101
all
things
right
for me to be doing.
I'm so lucky enough to have a life.
You put that cup down.
Speaking of, what's happening to Morrison eyes?
Hopefully you come into the quiz. No.
Will I get paid? Will Captain Goodwill get paid? Because I asked payroll today and they were just like, oh. And I'm just like,
simple
is that
answer
really
is, of course, no.
Yes, you absolutely will.
I'll buy you a cup of soup. Do that.
I don't have to change anything. It's already down there. That's good.
Tomorrow is the official Nerdy Up North quiz.
Yes!
Where we will be doing fantasy themes. So we have an entire round on The Lord of the Rings. We have rounds on fantasy TV, films, video games. What's the other one? We have badly described movies, I think.
We don't mention Willow.
Willow, no. I don't think there's any questions about Willow, actually.
No, because it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Mandela effect.
But it's gonna be a lot of fun between me and quiz mistress Jess.
The quizress. She's 7 foot tall and terrifying.
But then she takes her heels off and she's like,
she's 4'2".
She's still about 6 foot, isn't she? She's probably it's still
terrifying.
About 5'8". She's pretty tall.
I'm scared around goth women. She's
but
in
yeah,
my
it,
house. Help me. She's
it should
in
be
my
amazing.
House.
We've got a raffle. We're going to have a crappy teapot auction. And
oh,
yeah.
God.
So it should be a lot of fun. And we're,
speaking
this month,
of,
we're
speaking
raising
of
money.
Crappy teapot. Right. I am getting a lot of stick online about these teapots because people think I have binned them.
Because you need more, is that what you're saying? Yes! There they are.
Are you
There's
happy?
The teapots.
Are you happy? Look at them. Look
the
at
cat.
Them.
The cat.
The cat. What cat?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's a unicorn.
They are absolutely brilliant. No, the other one. Isn't it the cat one? Oh, no.
The fishy one's in the middle, the unicorn's on the left, and the cheers is on the right.
So bad. No, but yeah, so
that's my light
tomorrow
bulb. I've got a
tomorrow
light bulb
you
moment.
Can bid on more teapots to give to Goodwill to
no.
help out that pretty
no.
meager offering
no.
that he has there
no.
currently. So
no.
Zoe, if you're watching this,
no,
you
she's
could
not.
Get Goodwill more teapots.
She's doing something decent.
Yeah, Mummy and Daddy Goodwill,
no.
You could come along and
no.
Bid on more teapots.
No.
To help out, like look at the
no.
enthusiasm on his face.
No.
Like you want to see your child.
I would rather get
you?
A. I would rather get a prostate exam. I would rather get
Wouldn't
a prostate.
We both.
I would rather get a.
The doctor's got a restraining order against
I would
me
rather
now.
Get.
He
knuckles.
Says I'm too keen.
I would rather get knuckles to examine my colon. Okay, so No.
What would you use the other two wishes for, though? That's the question. Anyway, come along to the Nerdy Up North quiz tomorrow, and you could possibly do that.
It is a
geek retreat at Sunderland, 5 p.m. I will hopefully be in drag, because there are issues tomorrow, which might mean that I don't have enough time to actually properly get into drag. So I'm working on them at the minute. But I will be there hosting in whatever state I'm meant to be in. And then also, what else are we doing? That's 5 p.m. tomorrow. And then on Sunday, an amazing thing, where they're doing another fundraiser where Sammy and Paul are live on, is it Twitch?
No.
Or YouTube?
YouTube.
It's YouTube.
Okay. It's YouTube. YouTube channel for
they're
12
doing,
hours.
I think it's a 12-hour stream where they're going to review 12 different films over the course
I
of 12 hours.
I will get
hours.
You the exact time. Allow me to go into studio mode to try and pull the darts for you. Actually, should I just...
Beth, it's a shame you have to miss the quiz tomorrow. Like, are you sure you can't get a lift off someone? Can you message someone else who's coming, like, and see if they can give you a lift there and back?
Should I change the date of the stream and not tell anyone?
No, don't be that. It's for Charvate, because they're raising money for the Sophie Lancaster Fund.
He's got it down
for
10 a.m.
The most goth charity you can raise money for.
He's got it down for 10 a.m. What if I do 10 p.m. and not tell him? See, so 10 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. That's 10 a.m. GMT, not GMTV. GMT, Greenwich Mean Time, because our clock's gone by. They are starting at 10 a.m. with The Neverending Story, or Conservative Rule 14 years. 11 a.m. Spaceballs. I love Spaceballs. Mm-hmm. 12 p.m. Lee, a biography. I mean, Big. 1 p.m. Shut
and
up.
Long.
The, 1 p.m. Shut up, the Meg. 2 p.m. Democrats. Sorry, Crybabies. 3 p.m.
Oh,
Speed. What must of Sunderland take? 4 p.m. Rogue One. No comment. 5 p.m. The Dark Crystal.
Hey, they're finally bloody discussing
a
it.
A Snoop Dogg remake of Dark Crystal.
better than a P. Diddy one. Why six, is there lube everywhere?
Six. Speaking of lube, 6 p.m. Scary Movie 1. Seven p.m. Horrible Clinical Depression. Sorry, Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Oh, Mitha thinks Sammy loves Jar Jar Binks. Betcha, betcha.
It's a weird one. Like, it's there's so much to discuss with them. And I do think that the sequel trilogy has saved the prequel trilogy. Because, like, you're sitting there being like, these aren't the worst Star Wars movies anymore. Like, and you're kind of watching them being like, there are actually quite bits to enjoy in them. Like, obviously, Episode 1, there's a lot to trim out, I think. But
here's Liam Neeson. Here's a question for you. The Phantom Menace or The Last Jedi? Trick question, prolapse. 8 p.m. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Not the series, the movie. And they are finishing off at 9 p.m. Wait a minute. Why is it 12 hours? All right, okay. 9 p.m.
9 p.m. till 10.
Yeah. 9 p.m. They are finishing off their monstrous stream with Fanboys. I've never seen Fanboys. So
I've never. Sammy references it all the time, and I've never actually sat down and watched it. Is it on anything? Is it on perchance Paramount Plus? Maybe.
I don't know. I
have a look.
Probably. I don't know who produces.
Oh well,
I've never seen it. But
either
that is
way,
10 a.m.
tune in for that. It should be 10 a.m. quite fun
on Sunday. If you look down in the descriptions below, you will find a whole host of links to all of our friends. We have got everything that Nerdy Up North posts on. We have got Facebook, Instagram, whatever Twitter is, Twitch, and the Tiki Talks. You will also find the search for Trek, Trek Culture, Captain's Quadrant, Clone Star Podcast, Mike's Elkar's Workshop, because he does some amazing wallpapers. And you will also find The Velvet Snatch at YouTube, at The Velvet Snatch, twitch.tv/Sanoise, which is straight after this, the Girl LGBT Plus podcast at girlglobal.com, and the Velvet Snatch official website, thevelvetsnatch.com.
We were panicking the girl thing, because we hadn't got our confirmation that we were doing DragCon in January.
All right.
Like, we because we've done it the past 2 years, and we've got on famously with everyone, and then yeah, we just haven't got confirmation. Then it turned out that they'd gone through like three different media teams, where they basically got like they changed the media team, got a new team in, then got rid of them in like June, then got another team in. That team had no idea what was going on, and now they've got another team, and that team was like, we have no idea who is meant to get press and who doesn't. So
Oh my God.
yeah, so he managed to show them all the receipts and gone, look, give us stuff. So we've got confirmation of that. So we're planning that. I need to get some more dresses made. Oh.
If you loved the fantastic cover of Star Trek Voyager at the beginning of the episode, that was down to Adam Ashbridge, the amazing 17.85 meter tall tree of a man. If you look at the links, we've got his Bandcamp, we've got his Spotify, and we've also got his TikTok, where he does a load of TikTok lives, where he just jams out for your ears to have orgasms to. Our friend of the show, James Moorhead, has got his own YouTube channel and Twitch channel, JL Soryu, very good friend of the show, and a massive Star Trek fan, to say the least. If for some strange, devoid, psychotic reason you want to follow me, I am on Twitch at Captain Goodwill, because I have started my new channel. Twitch.tv/Captain Goodwill. I started on Tuesday and I had a extremely good time, or should I say, Cousin
You were
Truckle
brilliant. You're so
had an
good on Twitch.
extremely good time. So every Tuesday, 6 p.m. GMT, I am also on Blue Sky, Instagram, X, and the Tiki Talks. Come and say hello. I don't bite unless you pay me. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I'm gonna, but everyone, please come and join me on Twitch if you want to see me. I don't quite know what I'm gonna play. I'm gonna play a new game, I'm gonna play a new game tonight, I think.
Very suspicious. Oh, without further ado, I would like to thank my wonderful co-host, Science Officer Thanos, looking very radiant in his hooded youth, as they call him. I have been Captain Goodwill of the USS Adequate, and as ever on Trekking Up North, I want you all to stay safe. Look after each other, live long and prosper. We will see you next week, same time, same place. And as always, Miles. Miles.
Miles?
Miles.
Miles? How
Miles.
long has my cubelet been missing?